just in our daily lives, this went from venting to an actual solution. We
Wait
went from
a
a
minute. Repeat that, because
we
that's going to
went
be a sound bite. Steve Sherlock there for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime on the internet, WFPR.FM, and in the local Franklin Mass FM radio dial 102.9. Here today, virtually, how do we do that? Well, yeah, okay, we do that. But we're going to have a great conversation with Erin O'Leary. Erin, how are you doing this happy Thursday?
It's a very happy Thursday before Easter weekend and April break. How are you?
I'm doing great, and we're going to have a blast talking about this stuff today. And we also have Callie Keating. Callie, how are you doing today?
Doing wonderful. So excited to talk about it.
And you got a busy week next week too, right?
Oh, yes. April vacation is our Olympics, and we're so excited. We have a ton of programs coming up. So if you're looking for something to do over April break, please check out the library website, and hopefully we'll see you next week.
And that gives us a segue, because effectively BLAST is bringing libraries and schools together. And guess what? We've just done that virtually right here, right now. And we're going to get into how did it really originate? Where did it come from?
What is our origin story, Miss
There you
Callie?
go.
So really, there is a very natural collaboration, or the same kind of collab. The library and the schools are sort of kindred spirits, right? Like, we all love interacting with kids and families. We want to put the right books in the right hands at the right time. We want to give kids access to books, and we want to promote all of these great things that the public library is doing. And what your listeners may or may not know is that for over 15 years, Franklin Public Schools has suffered the loss of librarians, certified licensed librarians in the public schools. I believe we only have one in district right now,
in the high school,
located at Franklin High School. So our building, speaking from as the reading specialist currently at Horace Mann, we have a big, beautiful library space, and I've always had a decent budget for books, but there's no librarian to cull the collection, nobody to staff library time, or to help students to select the books that will make them fall in love with reading. So Callie and I had an existing relationship, and we wanted to find ways to sort of like bring the school population into the library. I knew she was my first call when we would have a visiting author, or we would do All In, our school-wide reading program, because I knew what a great partner she was. So we decided, like, let's see if we can figure this out. Let's see if we could bring essentially a satellite library to our middle school.
A mobile library to the middle schools? And there's a nice mnemonic there.
It is.
That was the fun part, was figuring out the name. We sat there and we're like, what would be a fun acronym? And BLAST is what we came up with, bringing libraries and students together. And yeah, for our part, it was such a, everything's a yes, everything's figure outable. But this was such a natural intersection of, we've got this collection. We have a robust book budget as a library. We have access to a network of 43 libraries. So we can get, whatever the kids are interested in, we can bring it to them. And then also, there's something to be said for meeting them on their turf. Like, we're coming into their building where they're comfortable, and the students have a much easier time sort of asking, like, hey, can you get me this kind of book? Or I like this. What else have you got? And we're on their turf, their comfort zone. And the hope and the reality is that we've seen is that students then, once we've built those relationships and established, this culture, and they understand that we are, another resource for them, they'll come into the library building and then sort of take ownership of the space that's designed for them, which is amazing. We've got teen volunteers that have come out of this and that grew up coming to BLAST and are now, volunteering and coming to Teen Advisory Board. And it's so magical.
Lifelong learning starts with a book.
That's right. And this is the story of BLAST is one of my favorites, because there are a lot of things to complain about, in education, or when we're just in our daily lives, this went from venting to an actual solution. We
Wait a
went
minute.
from a
Repeat that, because
we
that's going to
went
be a sound bite.
The origin story of Blast is one of my favorites to tell because there are so many things to complain about and a lot of concerns in education, but Blast is an example where we went from venting to an actual solution.
There's nothing wrong with that. If only more of that could happen. Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. And like Callie said, we're both yes people, and we knew that we could make this work. And honestly, the most tedious part of it was getting all of the upper level approval from the district administrators, because you're talking about giving permission slips to kids, you're talking about soliciting for library cards, we're talking about letting other adults in the building, which is all, pretty tricky ground.
Those are all things that logistically and respectfully do need to be addressed, right? They,
Right.
not anybody, unfortunately, the circumstances are not anybody can walk into a library, excuse me, walk into a school today, not without some pre-authorization badging, whatever. So, yeah, I mean, that's all valid. And yet, while you worked through those, the benefits are now just being told and told and told.
Yeah, it's been awesome. I think the sort of formula that we have now, right? We start the school year off generally with a library card drive just for like the new students and kids that aren't already acclimated and don't know about it. We start with a library card drive. Aaron and the other literacy specialists, I think, do a lot of work on the ground to kind of like hype it up and get them excited, especially like the sixth graders that are incoming, to the point that you actually bring it up when you visit them in fifth grade. Like
That's right.
this is what you have to look forward to. And then once they're established with library cards, we come in with carts of books. And the really fun thing is watching the sort of evolution of the reading culture in each school, because we're now in all three middle schools on a regular basis. And we go during the flex block when the kids can come down and have the most flexibility to sort of, they're not missing any like classroom time. And just like, there have been just periods of time where it's like, okay, like the kids right now at Horace Mann are really into like April Henry, thriller mysteries. And meanwhile, there's like a big fantasy contingent over at Keller or Sullivan. And, there was a big romance kick at Remington for a while. And then, and it's just fun to see sort of like what students are buzzing about and how they connect with their peers when they're in the space checking the books out and stuff's getting returned, and it's like, oh, I want that now. Like it's so cool to see.
And you're also validating their likes and dislikes. So we're meeting them where they are. And I can talk books all day long. There's nothing I love more than interacting with readers, telling them about books I've enjoyed, hearing about what's of interest to them, and like doing what we call book talks, right? And really sales. A lot of what we do
And selling.
is sales. But I have holes in my reading life. There are things that I just don't have the, affinity for. And so Miss Callie and Miss Bree really plug those holes. So if there are kids who are really into fantasy, I know Miss Bree is going to hook them up, and she's the one that they can talk to, and they can talk about titles and find stuff that they're going to love. So it's great. It alleviated a lot of pressure that I was putting on myself because I felt like I needed to have the right book for every kid every day. And I would be stopping at the bookstore on the way home. There's nothing worse than when a kid comes to my office and says, "Oh my gosh, I read this. I loved it. Do you have the sequel?" And if I didn't, I was stopping at a store on the way home and getting that because,
With your own money too.
right. Because you never let a reader leave empty-handed. So this was a huge deal in, meeting the needs of all of the readers and all of the students in our buildings.
And books, from my own reading experience, you can open a book and be in any one of a gazillion worlds, because each book is an entree to that author's space that they're creating. And then, yeah, there's fantasy, there's romance, there's real life, there's fiction. it just goes on and on. And depending upon what you want or what you want to explore, find a book. There's one there.
Yeah, the selection is sort of the fun challenge, I think, on a weekly basis. It's like, what were people gravitating towards? What were the students gravitating towards last week? What are we gonna like how do you tweak that, and then that have like very niche interests, and it's like, how am I gonna like that kid's gonna come next week, and like what do I have for them,
And there's pressure. I mean, the pressure is on for the librarians because just keep in mind, this is the DoorDash generation. They are used to instant. They don't even watch commercials anymore. So what they want, they get. So if they don't have exactly what they want, we've actually had to do a little bit of work. It got out of hand, 2 or 3 years ago when kids were like having specific requests and sending our librarians were overloaded, and they were the ones who were driving, hither and yon
Millets or Medway.
find books for our kids. And then they'd be all disappointed when they didn't have them, or they would, heaven forbid, have to wait a week. So this is, we're having to teach them the grace of patience a little bit because they're used to just, going on their phone and clicking and getting whatever they want delivered.
Yeah, there are also some fun learning opportunities to sort of, that's when we can kind of pitch like, hey, if everybody that is coming to us at Blast is a Franklin resident. So that's when we're kind of like, hey, let's see if it's on Hoopla. Let's see if it's on Libby. Like, we can utilize our digital resources to a certain extent. Yeah, that's sort of a fun intersection is like where, what we're providing, what the kids are asking for. Like they're in a school setting and there's sort of limitations to that. We also like curated an entire collection of playaways, which are like their audiobooks, their digital devices, and it's the book lives on the device. It's one specific book, and all you need to listen to it is a AAA battery and some earphones, and you can enjoy the audiobook right from the device. But that's all it is the book, where some of the other digital resources would be accessed on your phone or your
Or
tablet or whatever.
device,
This
right?
is nice because it's distraction free. The faculty can feel comfortable saying like, yes, go listen to that audiobook because I know you're not going to scroll away and get distracted. But yeah, that's trying to segue and kind of meet everybody's needs and also like the realities of like you're in a school building. But yeah, there's we can get you what you're looking for no matter what, and it's whatever the context is, whether it's at Blast or sometimes kids will ask for stuff, and I'm like, you gotta come to the library with your grown up for that one.
Yeah, and I think that's a good segue to just at least take the moment to reiterate what I think we said at the beginning, and then you just reemphasized right there. That's a cost savings to the families, to the students, to all of Franklin that's available. Because if they're not aware, yes, you are part of the Minuteman Network, and it's not just the Franklin Library. It's however many there are in Franklin, in Massachusetts, excuse me, that if the book is available in audio format or in text, hard copy, large print, whatever, it can be within your doorsteps, assuming its availability within a week or so, at least based on my experience. In some cases, it's like a day or two. If it's within the library, it's usually the next day. But if sometimes it's, an Easter pippy, whatever, it can still be there, and you don't have to go anywhere other than to the library.
One of my favorite stories about Blast is that kids are always surprised that it's free. Again, this is the subscription generation. So they pay for Disney Plus, they pay for Hulu or whatever their media is, they pay for Audible, right? If they want to listen to audiobooks. And I had a funny story a couple of years ago. Some eighth grade boys came to me with a civics project idea, and they told me. All I knew was that it had something to do with the library. And so I had these boys in front of me and I said, okay, tell me about your project. And they said, this is eighth grade now. And they said, we think the library should be free for old people, veterans, and the disabled. And I said, the
Nothing
public
wrong with
library?
that.
Well, and you can imagine, I just blew their minds with what I mean, it's hard for them to believe that this is a service that's available and that it is free to them. It's free to anybody to walk in the door. You can get whichever book you want. You can take it out for a period of time. We can get you different formats. Sure, you can get an audiobook. You can have these ways to stream your media online. But it's just almost unfathomable to them. This is of such value.
I love that. Like, great news. It is free, and it's free for you too.
Yeah, and the one caveat I'll put in there that, oh, by the way, there is this thing called an override coming up June 3rd. And oh, by the way, it needs to get passed in order to continue these free services because certainly back in 2007, 8, 10, some of the prior overrides, the library was not getting funded appropriately. And we lost access to that Minuteman service. And heaven forbid that happen again. That would not be a good thing. So, yeah, just, not to dwell on it here. Just be aware there's plenty of info out there. There's plenty of other ways to get info as to what the override really means. And this is just one of those. The library service is free today. It needs to be if we pass it. So, BLAST is something on a regular basis. And with the redistricting, it's going to be a little bit easier for you to go to one place, but you're going to need more carts, more help to carry all the books.
Yeah, we're so excited to have one central location to reach all of the middle schoolers in one place. That's going to be a definitely a game changer. Yeah, right now we are sort of grappling with three different schools that have three different flex periods at different times. So that's been sort of a tricky challenge in terms of like equity. So for example, Remington's flex block is first thing in the morning, which is generally outside of the library's working hours. So we can only get there once a month, and sort of just by like special accommodation, and that doesn't feel great, you know?
No.
But so the ability to reach all of those kids in one, on a weekly basis in one location. And yeah, just it'll be really, really fun to see sort of how all of these different groups converge and sort of like how the culture of reading shifts when all these kids are together. It's been so funny to kind of, when you're in the different schools, to see what, like, there was a big manga push at Sullivan a couple of years ago that was just like a couple kids that were like diehard manga readers, and that was a little bit hard to sustain in terms of those requests. But like, yeah, it'll be cool to see the kids interacting with each other and yeah, like finding their reading buddies too.
And this is also another, mentioning the reorganization is another example of how BLAST went from this collaborative, this program, and now it is part of the lingo. The schools expect it. Our administrators know that it is the part of the culture of the building. The kids treat the librarians as fellow staff members. So this is something that was part of the conversation. Not a big part, but was part of the conversation in the reorganization, that this is a benefit. We can have BLAST as a more permanent presence in Franklin Middle School. And we were looking at that, what time is going to be available? How do we want to set this up in terms of physical space and in terms of kids having the time to come in and out of the library? So that just feels really good. Callie and I have been there from the beginning, and now this program stands on its own.
Right. Yeah. That's cool. And it's interesting. I don't know. Even in the elementary presentation, I think I emailed you both after or during the meeting. It was like, hey, wait a minute. Elementary's talking about having a library as a focal point. That's cool. And yet they don't have librarians, and you don't do currently anything for them at elementary currently, do you?
Yes, we do actually. I will be at JFK in about an hour.
Oh, okay.
Oh yes, no. So it's yeah. What I can say is it's n our ability to serve the elementary population is based on bandwidth and interest. And
Sure.
when I first started overnight, yeah, over 8 years ago, I went to the superintendent at the time and was like, "Oh, I'm in the schools. What can I do?" And I remember her saying to me, "There are, at that time, there were six elementary schools with six
Right.
different cultures, and this is all going to kind of depend on the response that you get." And so that's sort of what we know where we're at, right? So I was at Jefferson yesterday doing read aloud visits for K and First. We have done book tastings for third or fifth grade at Parmenter for years. That's fallen off a little bit. The tricky thing is when when there's staff members that you work with for a long time and you have a standing relationship with, when they
Right.
change. We're so lucky to have Erin because we have this sort of stability and this like
Continuity.
continuity
Yeah.
over the years. But yeah, right now it's like I'm kind of working with like specific with the literacy specialists or with classroom teachers who are like, hey, we want to build this culture of reading. Like, we'll come in and we'll read books that tie to the curriculum modules, or we'll kind of go rogue and just like whatever's funny and new and buzzy that the kids are excited about. And so yeah, I'm also we're currently scheduling our summer reading hype tour. I know Erin's got hers going on, and we've got ours as well, where we're trying to get into as many schools as possible and get in front of as many kids' faces and just say like, hey, this is what our summer reading program looks like. You're going to get free stuff for doing the reading you were already going to do. We're going to reward you, and it's going to be fun and exciting and different. And yeah, that's what, yeah. Sorry, that was a balloon. I have balloons in my office right now.
Your office is, for those not seeing it, and we do have the ability to see into it. It's a fun space, but a library should be fun spaces.
It's overflowing. It's magical. It's a little over, yeah, it's a little overwhelming, but yeah. So yeah, our school relationships are, not as consistent across each elementary school as I would like to be, and that's an issue of staffing and bandwidth. But the point to take away is, if you're a classroom teacher in Franklin and you want us to come and like do a classroom visit, talk to your kids, like do some read alouds, do some book talks, do a book tasting. We're gonna do a book tasting with the Parmenter fifth grade in a few like in a matter of weeks. Like the answer is always yes. Everything's figure outable. We'll always make it work. And we're always excited.
So there's more possibilities, especially with only two elementary schools, albeit four operational, but in two buildings. That
Yes.
certainly makes it logistically a little bit easier for you.
100%. Absolutely. Yeah. And we'll try to get in front of as many kids as we can and yeah, spread the library love and connect them with books and connect them with reading and yeah, just
That's
make
another. That's another trick that we've figured out over the years is add blast to whatever it is you're already doing. It doesn't, sometimes it's a lot harder to create a separate time and space for something. But if you're already going to have, say, a music concert, or if you're going to have parent-teacher conferences, or you guys have been a feature when we have done World Geography and Culture Night, bring the library in. Give them a table, give them a space so that they can be a presence and they can be interacting with the people and bring the library lens to whatever it is you're doing, because it's going to elevate the experience anyway. There's always the time and place to talk about books.
always.
Absolutely. Yep. And you've got three book lovers here who certainly have spent and could spend hours just talking about the books we all read. But coming back to your early all-in reading, I know you introduced me, certainly a whole bunch of middle schoolers, to Ruta Sepetys and her work. I read her most recent one, the I think it was the
The Bletchley Riddle.
Bletchley Riddle, yes. And then I found out she wrote a book on writing. And I got blown away when I read that one.
And as a fan of Ruta, it's so wonderful to read about her life, isn't it? I mean, she really is very honest and vulnerable and hysterical. She's one of my favorite people on the planet. And I just adore her, and I say that she's fairy godmother status at this point. She's brought a tremendous amount of wonderful things to my life, and to the lives of the kids that we teach. So I'm so glad that you read you the story. That's like a book on writing. It teaches
Absolutely.
kids and adults that their memories have value and sort of how to dig the well of your memories for story.
And by disclosure, if people are not aware, I was a writer first and then became a reporter, which involves writing. But while I'm head down at a reporting meet or re reporting on a meeting, whether school committee, town council, whatever, I turned to writing on my own. I'm a quiet poet to help me address other things that are going on and help me learn what's going on. And writing is always that value, that venue for me to do so. And by that, I've been exploring other writers because, oh, by the way, we're all in the same boat. At some point in time, there's a blank piece of paper or a blank doc, and you got to fill it with something. And how do you do it? Well, you just start, and then it happens.
If you are interested in writing, no matter the age, yes, I would highly recommend the book You, the Story by Rudisa Pettis. Again, she sort of sets it up that she presents a story or a piece of her own writing, and then she highlights different things that she did or what you should look for. She even has these, research prompts. If you are interested, different topics to
Go
research to
answer
get you
this
going.
question and then come back and write out about it. It's like that the insight in the book is almost like you could spend a year just, working through all those things,
It's a
if not
course.
more.
Yeah, it feels like a writing course.
Oh, it is. Yes. Yeah, one other piece, certainly podcasts are very popular these days, which is why we're doing this. But one other podcast, more for the adult side, is there's a Three Books podcast, which I haven't tapped into much recently because unfortunately it was increasing my book list too much. The very simple theme, Pasricha is his last name. I'm forgetting his first name because I haven't listened to it recently. He just talks with average folks, so he could talk to each one of us. And his theme, his The reason for the podcast is, what were your mo three most impactful books?
Oh, that's awesome.
And clearly, the world just explodes from there. So you're talking with, a cab driver, a doctor, average people, and they're just, like this book, that book. My book list was just growing too quickly. I still have the podcast. I still subscribe to it, but I tap in every once in a while when I need something else as an insight to maybe I'll just go this way or that way, but I just can't do it all the time. Now, fortunately, he only publishes monthly, but still, once a month, 12 times, that's 36 books. That's a lot of books to read, but worth it.
I love that question. Wow.
I want to ask our patrons. Like, I feel like there's a library program like percolating right there.
Yes.
You could have like a Three Books podcast little kiosk, have them take a selfie or something. And what are your three books? That's a neat
Love
question.
this. Yeah. And stay tuned, everyone.
More
She's
to
a yes.
come.
She's a yes woman.
Love it.
Indeed. Well, this has been fun. Is there anything else that we need to connect in terms of BLAST and the collaboration, coordination, and further enhancements between library and schools around reading?
I always want to be a resource to other people in the community at large. So if you work at a school, if you're a teacher or an administrator, and you work in another school district and you want to get BLAST off the ground, so to speak, please reach
How to
out.
launch it?
How to launch BLAST? Yes, because we are not the only school district who has suffered the loss of librarians. A lot of schools are looking to sort of close this gap and to meet this need. So we are happy to share what we have done, how we've done it, the nuts and bolts, how to set things up, the forms, the communication to parents. So please reach out if that's something you want to consider.
Good plug, absolutely. Because I think you're still on the road, so to speak, with your all-in reading program as well, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, we love any way that we can bring students to books that will turn them into readers is I'm willing to do just about anything. So yeah, we've done the all-in school-wide read. We had a decade of that, and we are still continuing with our visiting author program. And who knows what's next with the
Yeah, we're always
reorganization? We start with yes. So it's going to be a
next.
pretty exciting. It's going to be a pretty exciting time. Stay tuned.
Yeah, more to come.
More to come. Stay tuned. So I think that's probably a good place to close at this point because, oh, by the way, stay tuned. There is more to come. Well, thank you both for sharing your enthusiasm. And if people haven't got that by now, there might be another issue. We won't go there, but I appreciate the enthusiasm, certainly as a fellow reader, lover of readers, lover of reading as well. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you for having us. We're so grateful.
And a quick reminder to the listeners, thank you for listening. And certainly in the show notes, we'll have the contact info in case you need it for both Aaron and Callie. And we do this because, in addition to reading matters, Franklin matters.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.